sneak in after work or anytime I wanted to and just like select a seat and select a time and just go see a movie in the theater if I wanted to. I mean, it's a 15-minute drive down the road. It's not too bad, but like that would be a good incentive to get me back. But outside of that, you know, I would love to get back more, but right now there's just no incentive.
I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Yep, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to the SideQuest Podcast. This is Eric. You're joined. We're joined by none other than Mr. Justin over there. Welcome to the show. Just us two this time.
It is, and I'm kind of super excited to not get interrupted every time I try to say something.
Well, I mean, I could fill that void for you if you'd like.
Well, you can fill something for me.
Ooh, he went there already. I love it.
Thank you right off the bat.
Well, we are without Jeff. He is still down in Florida. He just is down there. You know, he's just living the dream, being a boat boy, being a Florida boy. So we wish we were down there with you, having some fun in the sun. But tonight, it's just going to be the two of us. A little mano-y-mano, a little fireside chat with Justin and Eric. So let's just jump right into the first main quest, which is... Last week, I went and saw the new Batman movie with Mr. Robert Pattinson, and it was a really good movie. I enjoyed it. It's 3 hours long, which was a very long movie, but it wasn't a movie that felt like it took forever. Like some of those long movies, you're like, fuck, man, are we done yet? This one, mm-hmm. I was a little bit sad when it was done.
Really? So that's I have not yet. I'm intimidated by the runtime.
Yeah,
I'm gonna interrupt you.
No. Fill that void. But no, go ahead.
I'm very curious about it. I think that they've made some interesting casting choices. I've seen a few spoilers floating around that I'm interested in, but it's just that runtime.
Yes, it was, because we went and saw it on a weeknight, and you know us, but you know, when it comes to weeknights, it's like, I like to be in bed by like fucking 10 o'clock and asleep by maybe like 10:30, 11. So when we looked at showtimes, I'm like, all right, shit, usually I don't have to plan this far ahead. Usually we can go to a 7 o'clock movie and still be home and in bed by like 10. But fuck, man, we got there, it was a 6 o'clock show, 20 minutes of previews, and it was 3 hours long, and sometimes it's a little daunting. It's like, ooh, is it gonna be good? Is it just gonna be like, you know, the first hour is good and the last two suck and I just wasted a bunch of time? But it was a very I'm not gonna say slow paced movie. It was like just the right amount of pacing for the characters and the storyline. And I think what got me excited about it, too, no spoilers, of course, is that knowing what was going on and where we were at in the movie, and once you start to see some clips and things of what you've seen in previews, you're like, oh, shit, you know, maybe a lot of this happened in only the first 45 minutes of the film. Holy fuck, man, we still got 2 hours and 15 minutes, so now I'm getting excited. Like, what are they holding back behind the curtain? Because I'm just ready to get another bucket of popcorn and go to town.
And did you?
I didn't want to get up. I think the last hour I had to pee and I was like, fuck, dude, I just don't want to miss anything. I don't want to run to the bathroom. Like, so I just downed the whole bag of popcorn and candy. And then I just got a small diet Pepsi's. And that's what I drank. But no, it was a good, it was a very different kind of Batman in a good way.
That's so interesting. So as a cheap plug, we're doing on SideQuest. Oh, this is SideQuest. We're doing on Back in Time podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
got him.
Getting the wires crossing the streams all night long. we're doing so, audience, Claudia, and I think that's it. we will be recording a top five Batman Batman movies.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be coming out in the next week or so, and breaking down everything that is Batman, from Michael Keaton to Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
And identifying what we each individually think is the top five, because there's a lot of Batman in there.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of Bruce Wayne pain.
Yes, you're right. And it's now that we're, you know, it's 2022, between what, 90 or 89 and 92, like there's been a shit ton of Batman movies. You know, even if you include like what, the Lego Batman movie as like canon. I think people are,
and the cartoons, the Killing Night or the Killing, I don't know.
Killing Joke. Well, yeah. But, yeah. You're right. And all the animated movies, of course, like the Killing Joke and Long Halloween or something like that. Mm-hmm. This one was very cool. I like the villain. I always enjoy the villains. Let's take a quick side quest. This can be Batman or otherwise, wherever we want to fit into it. But I do enjoy the villains that are more scary and dangerous, but not from a physical standpoint. Like Mano y Mano, you know, the Riddler could get his shit rocked by Batman. There's just no question about it. But I love the villains that are more brains and more ballsy and like willing to really take some risks and shake things up. I feel like the Joker was the same way, right? In The Dark Knight, he would just get his ass kicked. Like if it was Batman versus Joker, he would just like break his legs and arms, and the Joker would just, you know, cry and scream and probably have a great time. He'd probably laugh the whole time. But, you know, mm-hmm. I love those villains that go the extra mile and really plan ahead, and just they, you know, the good guys always fall into the trap. So I don't know how you feel, whether it's Batman or other, but I love those kinds of villains.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting side quest for sure, because we've talked villains in the past, mm-hmm. and I'm very passionate about film and TV and probably not stage villains, because I'm not really into plays.
You mean like, I mean, Bradley Cooper or something being like the Elephant Man? Is he a villain? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But no, and it's just so fascinating, because if you can craft a well thought out villain as a foil to your hero, you've done the work to manifest like an amazing story, whether it be TV or movie or stage or page.
Yes.
And I love it. And I think that the point that you make, especially in the DC extended universe, because we've got a lot of Batmen, Bat gentlemen flapping around out there. But if you compare like the Joker to Bane in the Nolan's movies, like which one to you is more fierce? It sounds like you would definitely pick the Joker.
Yeah, I would. And yes, you know, Bane's kind of that brute force, and that's cool, but he just didn't do it for me. Like, you know, he had a following, and of course, who doesn't want to, you know, follow all the weirdos in Gotham City? It's just what they do. But yes, I liked the Joker's rhymes and riddles and little tricks he would play. So that those to me are more exciting than just like, hey, we're going to straight up wait for that dual mano y mano battle, and then someone's going to get his back broken. Like, yes, the Joker's definitely more exciting for me in that sense. What about you?
Let me go ahead and let's stay in this bubble that we're talking. Yeah. And let me say, I think Scarecrow was a better villain in the Nolanverse.
Ooh, okay. Taking it one step further. And I guess he would also be, you know, if we're sizing people up, he would probably even be a little more, let's say, fragile. And, you know, I feel like the Joker could take a beating and deal with it. He seems like a guy that came from a background of like, you know, I've been bullied or beat up or whatever it is. Who knows what his real background is? But I feel like the Scarecrow, you break his arm, the guy's going to scream and cry. And you bring up a good point. Like, he had a very good way of being, you know, a scientist and using that to his as one of his strengths. And, like, even got the Batman down on his knees and freaking out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that for me, as being a primarily audience, I'm a Marvel. I would say you're a Marvel guy too.
Yeah, yeah.
That when DC does that next level of beyond human, I appreciate that. So, like, we've got this toxic nerve gas that Scarecrow is pushing out in the movie to make you see your worst fears. Like, Joker can only masturbate about doing something like that. He can dance around and piddle, paddle, and prattle and do, oh, whatever, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
But he still needs to have his henchmen and his gun. Scarecrow is just kind of like, yes, his arm's going to get broken, and he's going to be very, very, very much a wuss about it. But he's also going to go scat and shoot some smoke up in Batman's nose. Batman's going to see his own arm getting broken. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, now that I think about it, like, you know, just to keep in, like you said, in this bubble, I felt like the first Batman Begins, that seemed almost like two movies in one, because you have Ra's al Ghul and Scarecrow all wrapped up in one. You know, like, I kind of forget the Ra's al Ghul part where he's, like, you know, burning down the Wayne Manor, and he's kind of a part of it, and, you know, it's the whole backstory there, and then you're dealing with Scarecrow at the same time, and it was just, like, all these bad guys coming after him in his early stages. And it's just, what I really enjoyed about it was, you know, how smart Scarecrow had to be to, like, pump nerve gas through the city. Like, that was his main mission, is just to, like, scare people. You got to imagine, like, at the end of the day, like, was that really it? Like, he just wanted to put nerve gas and then scare people, and then what? He becomes some, like, overlord, you know? Like, what's the end game there, you know?
I'm going to say a controversial point, and I'll start with the joke. We'll talk about King Joffrey's role in Batman Begins.
Yeah.
As just a little twerp.
Yep.
But let me just be completely honest with you, Eric, in audience.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Batman Begins was shit.
I'm so glad you said that, because I agree. I feel like we are in a very small, we're a very small team when it comes to that. I feel like a lot of people cherish that movie for some reason.
I don't get it. Maybe it's people that are younger than us and didn't see the original Tim Burton versions.
I think it's
maybe
more,
they're
yeah.
Go, oh, yeah. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I wonder if it's like the diehard people, right? Like, some people, let's just say, like, Star Wars, right? Like, the prequels. Well, 2 and 3 weren't bad, but, you know, they have to, like, defend all of them or none of them, right? Like, they have to say they're all the best or none of them are the best. And I feel like sometimes that's what people do for Nolan's Batman. So I interrupted again. That's 2 slashings at the end of this episode.
Shapow, shapow. And then also, I don't know, even before, like, I've got a my teeth are a little longer than yours, Eric. But I remember watching the Adam West Batman show before the Michael Keaton.
Okay. I vaguely would catch, like, one-off episodes. Like, my dad would find some old channel, like, what was it, on, like, UPN Power 50 still had it or something.
Yeah, it's mostly the same. It'd be, like, my grandpa or my grandma, and they would just be sitting in the corner smoking and drinking like they did in the 80s. And then they'd just be like, oh, we have to distract this damn kid. Here's Batman. But so, like, to see, in my opinion, to go from what they did with Adam West and the bang, pow, zing, zang, zong, and then to bring in, like, in my, so side quest, to, like, on top of a side quest, because I think that there's, when it comes to Batman, you have to view and appreciate or hate two separate characters. There's Bruce Wayne, and then there's Batman.
Right.
And the actor, and I don't think Adam West, I don't even think he was ever Bruce Wayne. I can't recall. I think he was just always Batman. But Michael Keaton was, like, this great mixture of this, like, high society playboy that's also extremely depressed and beating up leather-clad goons in the dark and not getting paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. It kind of, similarly to, like, the Bond franchise, you know, you have your different flavors of Pierce Brosnan to Daniel Craig to Roger Moore to Sean Connery. Like, I feel the same with Batman, where I think, and maybe that's why the creative team, like, takes it in a different direction, right? Like, we want to make our own Batman. And so you go from Adam West to Michael Keaton, and, you know, you got Tim Burton in there kind of making it kooky, as he always does. And it was cool to see where that went to with Val Kilmer and George Clooney, even though they're one-offs, but it was just interesting. And I want to take us into another side quest. We're just doing a cyclone of side quests here. You know, like, a tough question to ask and answer, but who out of all of them would you say is your favorite Batman? Not Bruce Wayne, but your favorite Batman.
Okay. Okay. Michael Keaton.
Okay. And maybe you'll change your mind once you see it, but and maybe just so fresh and new and just exciting, but I think Robert Pattinson did a fantastic Batman, and he easily, for me, jumped to number one just with that movie. And I think it was just that, again, no spoilers, it's a very different Batman. It's very young. It's year two. I mean, it's not spoilers. That's just out there. And it's really cool to see this Batman and what he does in this different type of, let's say, detective style role. You know, like, there's always that little detective and secrecy behind Batman and who he is, and there's the Batcave and nobody's gonna know, and, you know, like, him swinging into Nicole Kidman's window in the middle of the night, like, he's super, you know, spy-like about it, and then he just disappears from Gordon in the middle of a conversation. So it was really cool to see Robert Pattinson and his take on Batman. I think I'd be curious to see how it stacks up to Keaton. Maybe not number one for you, but I feel like he might jump up a few spots.
No, and I appreciate it. Again, audience, I've not seen it yet, so I can't weigh in. I want to see it. My lazy ass will probably wait till streaming.
Yeah, no worries.
And I'll watch it the same way that we watched Braveheart when that came out on VHS in two parts. You remember that? That's a side quest.
Oh, God. Yeah.
A younger audience that are spoiled by DVDs and Blu-rays and streaming. There was a time, and this is a piggyback on our early 2000s episode.
Yep.
Late 90s. But movies would come out on two VHSs.
Yep. I remember that.
The movie It, the TV movie It, Stephen King's It, came out on DVD, and I own this copy. It's on two DVDs.
Oh, God.
It's not just one. You have to go flip the disc in the player to get to the second half of the movie.
God, same with Titanic. I remember that one was a long one. And they typically, in Blockbuster, had the two VHS tapes with, like, some kind of bullshit rubber band in the middle of them. So, like, you check out with both tapes, and it was like, I don't know. You couldn't even fit it back in the return slot. They had to make the return slot bigger just because of those long-ass fucking movies.
Gosh. And but, yeah, I'm, <right. laughs> I'm really surprised that they didn't charge extra for that either.
Yeah. That was the cool thing. I don't think they did. I think it was honestly just, this is the movie, and you get what you get for the whole price because, you know, I don't know. Like, it is both movies, but it only can go so long on each tape. It's like, we're bound to the boundaries of the dimensions of this VHS tape, which is just mind-boggling if people think about it now.
Yeah, and so, hot take, I don't know what theater that you went to see. Did you have to pay an upcharge to see the movie?
No upcharge. It was actually, I was surprised it wasn't going to be as expensive as it normally is. I think it was maybe like $10 for my ticket, and then $6 for Jessica's ticket because she's a teacher, so she gets a little bit of a discount. But no, I was actually surprised it wasn't as expensive as it normally is. Like, here's the other thing too: the other theater that we typically go to with IMAX, like, those tickets are fucking like $18 a pop, or at least when they were open. But no upcharge, surprisingly.
Because did you see that AMC theaters announced that they were pushing an extra $1, $1.50, $1.99 specifically to movie?
I don't know why. Oh, just because it is longer, right? That's what you mean.
So it's a mixture, and this is a great little rabbit hole that we're gonna just go balls deep into right now. It harkens back to a quote that Spielberg and Lucas both, a conversation that they had in 2013, where they predicted that the cinematic universe of movies would go the route of sporting events or live theater. Mm-hmm. If you want to go see a live basketball game, you can pay peanuts for the nosebleed seats, or you can pay a premium for courtside.
Right.
Why aren't movie theaters doing that? If the experience is different when you're, you know, prime seating or cheaper if you're like right up by the screen,
yeah,
something like that. So, and yeah. I think AMC is trying to play off of like that concept. Hi, Fallon.
Oh, hi, Pup. Good Fallon. Good. She's like a little Batman, like a little cat bat lady.
She is. She is. And now she's laying down.
But I think you're onto something there. Like it does definitely make sense. And I don't know what that means. Like, yeah, buck or two. So you know, the third or fourth row up, like directly in the middle, like your eyes are center on the screen and you're, you know, like that should be premium seating for most, people. But yes, like the first three rows where your neck basically hurts immediately, like those should be like eight, you know, like $6, you know, whereas the primetime seat should be like, you know, 12, $13. So I think it makes sense.
I mean, it's the same thing when you go to a concert to listen to music.
Yep.
The music sounds all the same, but if you are in Boofoo, you're paying cheaper. If you're yeah. in the freaking mosh pit, you're paying more.
Agreed. And you know, I get it too, like in this state of the world that we're in, you know, movie theaters are probably struggling to get people to fucking, you know, dress up in bow ties and like scoop up popcorn all day. And, you know, like it's probably tough to even keep half these theaters open. Cause I think mm-hmm. still a lot of people out there, probably a lot of our listeners too, like maybe people haven't even been convinced to go back to the theater. Like even with these big movies that have come out, like, it's kind of like going back to work and working in the office. Like a lot of people just don't want to fucking do it. Like, hey man, I can do it at home. I'll just wait till it comes out. I don't need to go to the theater to see this thing. Maybe to avoid spoilers, but like the movie theater we were in, it was a 6 o'clock show on a Thursday, nothing out of the ordinary. And we were about 6 days after it premiered. And there was maybe like six other people in the theater. Like, it, mm-hmm. and I don't think it was because it was a bad movie or had a bad rap or anything. I think it was just that people just will say, hey, I'll wait till it comes out. Like, I don't need to go to the fucking theater to rush to see this. Like, I don't know. I guess it there's a lot of factors at play, but I feel like if they do change it up and try to make different seating charts and prices, that it might just scare more people away as opposed to bringing them in.
Yeah, and as studios navigate this digital streaming world, as Netflix and Amazon continue to be juggernauts in the corner, I only think that there's going to be more disruptors and pivots. And I'm with you. I don't know what that means. I'm not some high paid executive at freaking Sony that makes $800,000 a year to say, oh yeah, let's cut the scene with the dildo and let's add a scene with a Mexican boy. Like, I don't even know what that means.
And you know what I hope it does in a positive way with just, you know, greenlighting new movies is that I hope it still allows independent movies to make their mark. Because, you know, right now there's probably a really, really big risk when you say, hey, we want to try this one-off weird kind of, let's just say, Marvel movie, right? Oh, we're going to need about $250 million. Is that cool? Well, you know, if people don't go see it, we're going to lose a shit ton of money. Like, that's probably all in, probably like $500 million with advertising and paying the actors, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you hope that if they're going to sit there and assess, like, where is this coming out in theaters or on digital? Like, now they have to sit and talk about it. And I hope independent movies and like those, some of those one-off movies that, you know, I think we all enjoy from time to time, I hope those don't get screwed over by this, because realistically it's like, hey, we can make this little guy for like $70 million, but you know, we're just going to release it on streaming and make like nothing back. You know,
So, okay. Let me play devil's advocate for a moment, because I think you have your MAGA hat on right now.
Oops, how'd that get there?
No, I don't. I mean that with no disrespect.
Oh,
you're thinking from an American streaming perspective, but you have to consider India,
yep,
China, mm-hmm. the millions upon billions of people that are sitting down to stream American content,
yes,
or Squid Game, Korean content. And they don't have the access the way that we do in America, where we can say, oh, there's a theater 0.3 miles away, 0.5 miles away. I got a theater upstairs. No, they have to consume content in a much different manner, and they just outpace us in terms of population. So they are digging into all of this, and they're just finding out about the first Saw movie. I hope that doesn't come off as racist, because I don't mean it that way at all. But like, there's a gap between where we are with the film production that we produce,
yep,
and where the rest of the world is, and they have the technology to now consume it.
Yeah, that's
and
very
they
true.
Are.
Very
They're
true.
Digging into it, and it's astounding. You can't think of America or American film as being a continental lightning rod anymore.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I just wonder too, like, it probably got to a point where, like, man, these fucking actors and actresses, like, productions are way fucking expensive, and actors are just getting paid millions and millions of dollars. Like, you wonder if a lot of them are butthurt nowadays, because instead of making $8 million a movie, now I'm, oh, damn, I can only rake in $4 million. Or you see Bruce Willis taking every fucking role he can just to keep making some money and millions of dollars here and there. It's like, I just hope out of all this that good content still comes out no matter where it's coming from. But I feel like, I don't know, some actors are probably going to throw up a stink about, like, how fewer movies are being in production and no one's going back to the theaters anymore. And now it's all going to streaming. And you know, you get that older generation that doesn't really understand it. Or like the Scorsese's of the world, who's just like, ah, fuck those Marvel movies. Well, they're stupid. It's like, okay, they're stupid, but they've made like $3 billion, Martin, you know, not saying you're
right,
a shitty director, but that's how the world keeps turning, is money. Not sign,
know,
you
let's side quest and talk about The Irishman really quick. If you
oh,
want.
God, yeah. What was that, the most fucking expensive movie for Netflix for that period of time?
And it was like 3 hours and 14 minutes long. And
the worst de-aging, like, people immediately the next day on YouTube were putting better, what were those called, like the face swaps on them, and just so much better.
I had to watch that movie in three or four sittings. Like, so it's like, calm down, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, yeah.
But because I think the big thing, and we've talked about this like a bunch of times, like, when you're consuming media, it's the same as when you're consuming food. You can spend $100 on a hamburger and it's going to be damn good. Or you can spend a dollar on a double cheeseburger, and guess what? You might get the runs later, but it does the trick. That's Marvel.
Yeah. And, like, you think about it, too, because I know I'm, if I was going to be in one camp or another, I'm starting to lean back towards, like, going to see movie in theaters. I enjoy the ambiance. I enjoy being, you know, being there to experience the movie. And it has to be the right movie. Like, I'm not just going to go and see, I don't know, what the fuck, like, just some drama with, like, who knows who, just like some tearjerker that, you know, I wouldn't care about, but Susie, who just turned 65, is really excited about after Olive Garden, mm-hmm, Endless Breadsticks. That's
ooh,
exciting.
Yeah.
But I like to get back to the theaters, and I would love to, because I do enjoy streaming at home. And I do enjoy being able to press pause and just get up and walk away from it. But, you know, I hope there is a comeback for movie theaters. And the only way to do that, though, sadly, is, like, you got to entice people to come back. Where's the incentive to bring me back? Because I can sit on the couch and make my own popcorn and make a drink and watch 5 movies in a row if I wanted to for the cost of, what, $15 a month or less, you know, less. Mm-hmm. So what's the incentive, movie theaters, for me to come back, right? Like, I think pre-COVID, what was that one business that just completely fucking tanked? It was like the MoviePass.
Where MoviePass.
Yeah, and I heard people really took advantage of that, and they had a great time. It was like, I don't know, $15 a month. All you can see movies, like, even the latest and greatest. And, like, people we're going two or three times a week, and they're like, oh fuck, we're losing a lot of money on this.
Right.
And like something like that, if it's done right, like, you know what? I would pay like $10 to a movie theater a month if I could just sneak in after work or anytime I wanted to and just like select a seat and select a time and just go see a movie in the theater if I wanted to. I mean, it's a 15-minute drive down the road. It's not too bad, but like that would be a good incentive to get me back. But outside of that, you know, I would love to get back more, but right now there's just no incentive.
And let me take it one step further. The incentive to an extent can be the content itself.
Right.
And is there anything on your horizon that you're just like salivating to see?
And again, everybody probably, you love me or you hate me for it, but pretty much any Marvel movie that isn't Black Widow, I will love to see in theaters. Like Multiverse of Madness, I feel like that's going to be an experience in the theaters. It's going to be loud. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very visual. So it's got to be to that level of excitement. Like Batman was awesome in theaters. I enjoyed watching that. And, you know, I think Doctor Strange will probably be the same way, but it's got to be of like that caliber.
Okay, so you're more of the big box.
Yeah. Give me the blockbuster, give me the excitement, give me the popcorn.
You're not like thirsting for licorice pizza.
No, not this time.
I mean, I'm talking about the movie, not the
food.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. yes. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So my point being that I'm with you. Like, I'm excited to see the Multiverse of Madness. I wish the spoilers would stop.
Yeah, agreed.
And we've talked about this in the previous episode. That audience, you can go back and listen to. They're unconfirmed rumors. They're not spoilers. Nobody knows anything. Yeah, but that'll be a theatrical one for us. But outside of that,
yeah,
I don't know. Like,
nope. There's really nothing. And that's the thing, like, they will have to have like a unified front across the board, because if you have HBO Max that still wants to release movies same day streaming, it's not going to get me back to the theater. But you have Disney doing some here and there, like the Turning Red, the Panda movie that just came out. Like, will I probably watch it? Yeah. Did I watch it opening day? No. But that's one less chance for me to go to the theater. So if all those streaming businesses decide, like, listen, we're putting our foot down, it's going back to the theater every single movie for 2 months and then streaming that third month, whatever it is, or like out for rent and then finally streaming, like, that will force people's hand to probably go back to the theater and see it there. Otherwise, you run the risk of spoilers and not seeing it and then maybe forget about it or don't care about it. And then, you know, I can't tell you how many movies, I'm sure it's happened to you a lot, is like, oh, fuck, yeah, I wanted to go see that. And you just completely escapes your mind and memory. And then a couple weeks go by and it's like, well, shit, if I don't see it in theaters now, I might as well just wait for it to come out, you know? So they would have to force everybody's hand. But if streaming services still want to keep pumping out movies and have them come out same day, then guess what? That's where I'm going to spend my money and go and watch it, because it just comes with the platform. So hooray for me.
Hooray for you. I wanted to see House of Gucci. I know it wasn't as well received as they had hoped, and I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, there you go. And
so I'm going to do like a real weird side quest.
Yeah, let's do it.
Knowledge that might be outdated.
Okay.
This movie used to hold the record for shortest amount of time from theaters to home release.
Okay.
And I don't know that it has been beaten. This is in 2002. It was 29 days. So in the calendar month, you could have seen it in theaters, then bought the DVD. Whoa. What movie was it, Eric?
Oh, God. The Ring?
No. I'm from Justin to Kelly.
Oh, God. That was 2002.
Let me embarrass myself a little bit. I took a girl on a date. Justin is my name. Her name was Kelly, and we went to see that movie.
Good God. That's amazing.
Yeah, and it was a horrible movie.
Oh my God. But yeah, that's, yeah, that's, I, oh my God, 29 days. That's, yeah, that's definitely a record.
I don't know that it's been beat. Obviously, we live in a different world now where we're doing day one streaming with theatrical releases, and then, but I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You could have gone on March 1st and then before April, if your relationship lasted as long as four weeks, had that like, hey, happy 1 month anniversary.
Oh my
Here's a
God.
DVD copy of our first movie we saw in theaters.
Oh God. No wonder it didn't last. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, that's good. I wonder, you know, it's such a weird business. Like, movie business is kind of fucking weird. It's like, I wonder, taking us on a new side quest, is there ever gonna be a sped up process from finishing filming the movie to release? I totally appreciate and understand what, you know, the work that has to go into filming a movie. It's like years of prep. It's 3 months of filming, like on different locations and getting everything ready and reshoots and this and that. And then it's a shitload of post-production that I don't, you know, people, even though it might be a year later or so, there's a lot of work that goes into it. I totally get that. But I wonder if there's ever going to be enough technology and futuristic stuff where they finish filming a movie March 1st and we can go see it like, you know, June 1st, right? Like, give me 3 months to edit and finalize. It's like right now, the Marvel movie, it's done and in post for like a year. And fucking Avatar, I think they finished filming it like 2 years ago and it's not coming out till 2023. Like, that motherfucker's in post for like 2 years, you know? Like, I just wonder if it's ever gonna get there. I don't know what you think about that. Like, is post-production ever gonna, you know, shorten it? Because I get excited about stuff and I want to see it like now, today, or at least like a couple months from now.
Yeah, I think you bring up an excellent point, and I think part of like the front end digital first filming that the majority of big projects do helps that. So we're not talking about doing 8mm or actual film, it's digital,
Yeah.
which just shortens the amount of time that it goes from camera to can. But man, oh man, I think I do wonder if there's like a level of like augmented reality or artificial intelligence where a director or a producer or a writer can lay in a pod. Just bear with me here, this gets weird. And they get hooked up to their neurons, right? They just get like drilled into their brain. And their thoughts and the images of their dreams are just replicated out onto a video screen.
Oh yeah, I would
So
love
you don't
that.
even have to do anything. It's just all internal, external.
Yeah, like no cast, no crew. It's just like, here's my movie.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah,
like
I can't.
it's like what's his name from Tropic Thunder?
Oh my gosh, we just watched this movie the other night,
Ben
actually.
Stiller was, what was his
Simple
special?
Jack?
Yes, yeah, Simple Jack, his head movies. Like, where you get hooked up to a machine, but he calls his dream his head movies. You knocked me out, and then I had head movies.
Oh my
But
goodness. Yeah, that could be a thing.
it's
And you can wake up, you can go to bed and wake up the next morning, and here's Quentin Tarantino's newest movie because he was just having head movies.
So
He
it's
had a hell of a head movie.
so like me and Justin walk into an executive office in LA and it's like, all right, guys, we got it. It's like Black Mirror meets Simple Jack, you know. That's where
Yeah.
it meets the pod. And that's the technology we want to create. But that would be really cool. I mean, yeah, you're right. Can it get to a point where it's just all in somebody's mind and they just think about it and the camera turns on, turns off, and you know, I hope there's still certain elements to movies that just don't make it all weird and stupid and unrealistic. But I would, you know, some of these movies, I guess I'm just so hyped for that I just wish there was a short time. Like, as soon as they start filming some, even like day ones, I'm like, oh, shoot, let's see the set photos. Let's see who's creeping on them. Mm-hmm. Just knowing it's like, fuck, man. Like, they just wrap filming. That movie's not coming out until like mid 2024. Like, we're not even 2023 yet. It's like, God damn it.
Right.
I just got to like wrap myself in a bubble and not die or something, you know, just
fingers crossed. Let's avoid that.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be good. By the time we're 60, they'll figure out some way to make us live to 150, and we'll just be raggedy old bones on ropes. That'll be fun. But you kind of wonder, though, like, you know, back to the incentives of the theaters, like, there's got to be something, either a point system or like, hey, come in, you get a free popcorn. Like, it's almost like the movie theaters need to pay people to come back. Like, that's kind of be the starting, is like, hey, we'll pay you to see the movie. Just come, you pay for your popcorn, your drink, whatever, but... you know, we'll pay for your ticket. Just come back. Say hello. Grab a seat. You know, here's your reserve seat. You can come here every Tuesday. But I'm just curious, like, what, and we kind of talked about this a little bit in who knows what episode, but just, like, the future of the movie theater. At some point, like, even though you put in the reclining chairs, like, that was the next phase, right? Like, it was kind of shitty stadium seating with sticky seats and gum everywhere. And now it's more the relaxed, reclinable chairs, and you get more space. And then it turned into, you know, food and beverage service for some theaters, if that's what you want to do. Like, what is that next thing for movie theaters that's going to, like, I don't know, make people start buzzing about them again? Is there anything that can help?
I think two things come to mind, like, right off the bat. One would be, like, an advanced sense of community within the theater. So if there's a social element, because when if you go to like live theater, you got your, or if you go to a Chicago Bears game, you've got your tickets, you've got your seats, you know who's sitting next to you, you look forward to seeing them, you tailgate with them in the parking lot,
right?
Like it's a whole big activity to like. So if movie theaters can sort of encapsulate that, I think that could be a big thing. The other thing that I would say is if they're able to harness properly like VR technology to make movies more interactive, like how Bandersnatch was. Like, how many times did you watch that? Like, we watched it for every outcome. Like, oh no, gotta rewind and start over. Okay, write that down in your copybook.
Yes, we watched it and then we spent way too much time afterwards and we're like, oh shit, well wait, now I want to go back and kill that person. Hold on.
Kill dad?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I agree. I think that's a great idea. Like there needs to either be like the 4D element where, you know, I personally think, and I thought this would be cool for a long time. I don't know how you can easily achieve it. Probably it would just be weird, but work with me here. Is that the screen is directly in front of you, right? You see the screen. There's all the way to the left, to the right, to the up, to the down. I think what would be cool is some kind of like panorama, and I'm not talking like IMAX. Like, yes, IMAX screens are humongous and they wrap around kind of your eyes a little bit, but to the left and to the right of you is all a screen. So it's basically a U shape from if you turn back your head to the right corner, like there's a screen there. There's nothing behind you, no screen behind, but you at all times are like in the movie. Like you are somehow just there and you can see what's going on. Like, hey, the actors are having a conversation is typically what, over the shoulder and then flips back over the shoulder. But like, hey, I want to just like watch the extras over here who are walking down the street. You know, like I'm not even paying attention to the actors. Not saying that would be fun or exciting for some people, but like it just makes you feel a little bit more immersed. Like maybe they cool the theater down when they're in the winter atmosphere. They heat it up when they're in the tropical zone. They have scents going. So like a building's on fire. It has these like fake burning smells, like kind of almost like Disney-esque, right? You go through the Pirates of the Caribbean. It feels like, oh, hey, it's exciting. I can smell it. I can see it. I can feel it. I think that would be cool. That could be the next, but who knows how much fucking money that would be and who would actually... I don't know. I don't know if anybody would enjoy that.
Yeah, that's a... I'm trying to think of examples of movies in movies that have done that. I know in Scream 2, they had that like heightened level of when they did the stab movie at the beginning.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I just don't, that would be effing awesome.
Yeah, it's hard to like imagine what it will be. Someone's going to come up with it, and then it's going to be like, God damn it, why didn't anybody think of this? And then it's just going to be the way it is. You know, like, I don't know, maybe it's a 360 theater at some point, and you literally just sit there, and your chair spins, and then you throw up eventually. Like, who knows?
Yeah, I like the idea of being in the moment of a scene, and like you're looking at your two leads in front of you, and you look over your shoulder and you see, hey, this guy's slinging up some hot dogs for $1.99.
Yeah, pay the extras more, right? Yeah, like they're actually doing a good job. Oh, this guy's just standing here creeping, huh? Okay.
It's Teen Wolf. This guy pulled out his peen.
Oh, got him. High def 4K version.
There we go. Somebody
had to re-pixelate those pixels.
Oh boy.
But yeah, I mean, it would be cool to think about what the future's like there. But yeah, I mean, how many years away are we from that? And like you mentioned, augmented reality, like while you're in a theater, are you going to need like a headset or VR or glasses or I don't know. Are you just going to be in your own little fucking pod in the theater and everybody's in their own little pod watching a movie, you know, like a personal movie theater? Who knows nowadays? It's going to be really fucking weird, though.
Oh, yeah.
Something's got to happen. So, yeah, I mean, I love talking about movies. I know we could talk movies all day. And I can't wait for you to see the new Batman movie. And circling back, because I did ask you about your favorite Batman, and I think I know your answer for best Bruce Wayne, but is it also Michael Keaton?
No.
Ooh.
I'm gonna be super, because you tried to guess and you were wrong. But I'm just gonna throw it out there. I'm gonna say Val Kilmer played a ridiculously awesome Bruce Wayne.
Wow, what made him, you know, that top spot? What about his performance?
He just embodied the subtleness of who Bruce Wayne should be, as like this rich boy with these like ridiculous ninja skills. But the way that he interacts with Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones, and there's this one scene where it's the launching of I forget the name of the plunger to the head that Jim Riddler creates. the what's it called? Come on, help me.
Oh God. It's been too long. I can't think of it.
Doesn't matter.
I know what you're talking about, though.
At the launching of this, and there's a scene where Jim Carrey, he never wears glasses in the movie, but he comes out in a pair of glasses, and every time Val Kilmer takes his glasses off, Jim Carrey takes his glasses off, and then Val Kilmer puts them back on. And so it's just like this back and forth of them trying to replicate what they think a normal behaving person should do. Because Val Kilmer's like, as Bruce Wayne, like, oh yeah, I have to put my glasses on.
Right.
And then Jim Carrey's like, oh shit, he put his glasses on?
Yeah.
I gotta put my glasses on. Because neither of them know how to behave as a normal person. They're both deeply disturbed individuals.
Right. That's a great point. And yeah, God, what were those TVs called? The suction cup to the head, and it just takes your brain. I can't believe. Like the something box or something, box of whatever.
Damn it, I hate us right
now.
We'll
figure it out.
We have the technology to just, audience, if you know what they're called, they're just the
yell it out at us. Bruce Wayne, it's a tough one because there were a lot of Bruce Waynes and there's a lot of different flavors, just like we talked James Bond. I suppose if I had to pick a favorite, it would probably be, God damn, I might be agreeing with you. Because I'm thinking, all right, George Clooney, he was just too cocky. He was just kind of like a cocky know-it-all, yeah, I'm Bruce Wayne. And then he's fighting over bat nips with Robin about his, you know, you don't have the money and charge it with your bat card. Okay, you're just too cocky. And his Bruce Wayne and Batman were the same. They were one and the same. There was no alternative. You know, I feel like Christian Bale, he was just such a, like, whiny bitch the whole time. I don't know what it was about him. Like, I didn't enjoy his Bruce Wayne. He just was itching to only be Batman, and if he felt uncomfortable in his own skin as Bruce Wayne. And I get it. He's a great actor, don't get me wrong, and maybe that's what he's going for, but to me, I feel like Bruce Wayne is more of like that Val Kilmer or Michael Keaton. You know, like you said before, he's kind of that playboy, millionaire, billionaire, whatever it is. And like, he was very suave and, you know, he would put glasses on too for some reason and try to look smart. I don't know what it was, but you know, there was something I really enjoyed about Val Kilmer and Nicole Kidman's performance, especially when he was Bruce Wayne. Like, that to me really embodied what I thought a good Bruce Wayne was. And I think maybe that's why I also like Pierce Brosnan as the best Bond as well. I feel like those two would pair really well together.
I'm glad that we're on the same page, audience. Yep. You can agree with us, disagree with us. I mean, let us know. I mean, the whole point of us doing this, having this conversation, is for you guys to be like, you guys are dumb.
Yeah, just, I'm wrong, you're right. Like, yell at us. Let us know what you think. And correct us, you know, correct everything that we've said here tonight, if you dare. So everybody, thanks for joining us. Hit us up at SideQuestPod. Jeff, I think you're going to have to join us next time. I think he's back from being a Florida boy, so we'll get him back on the show. If not, we'll definitely have a guest or somebody to, you know, bring some extra excitement to the room. Justin, as always, it's a pleasure. And I don't know, I guess it has to be something Batman in that area, or the Penguin, or something going on.
Okay. Let's each pick our favorite Batman villain, and let's then you yell at Jeff in that persona, and then I yell at Jeff in my favorite Batman villain persona. And or maybe we invite him to come on to an episode because it's been like,
yeah, now he's going to be a guest. He's going to be a guest. So, all right, let's see if I can do this voice. All right, Jeff, chill. God, that was Arnold.
I'm gonna eat some fish and bite your nose. Bitey nose, bite him in.
Gonna get the rum ham. Oh yeah.
Oh, smack that ham.